Hello, humans, and welcome back to Audio Face 50 of the Tens. This is where we, me, Dan, him, Sean, this is where we go over our favorite albums, or the best albums of the Tens decade, the ones we think are the most significant, and we're going to give you recommendations of songs to listen to from these albums, if you can only listen to one.
Yes.
But we recommend you listen to the whole albums.
And these are from number 30 up to 21.
Yes.
So we're starting to get down to the best phrase ever, the meat and potatoes.
Yes. If you've ever, you're missing 50 through 31, you have some podcasts to listen to.
Yes.
If you're missing 20 through 1, you have some podcasts to listen to in the future. Let's start with 30.
The War on Drugs, A Deeper Understanding, which came out in 2017. This is one of my favorite rock albums of the decade. It is, each song is over 5 minutes long.
So that's real rock.
But so it's real rock. It's real shit. None of this fugazi, hyphy-typhy boys jumping around pretending they're rock stars. This is deep in my feeling stuff. Played naturally a lot of MBE, but it was a couple of his other albums that have came out I've liked a lot throughout the decade, but this is definitely his, to me, his best work for sure, and the one that gave him the most traction. Pain is such a good song. In Chains, that shit has so much emotions in that piece. I mean, it's 7 minutes long, so it's a lot, but it keeps you going. It keeps you wanting to listen to more and more of the album. But each song goes with one another. Again, I can put it on shuffle and do whatever I want with the album and put it in playlists and stuff, and it doesn't ever feel out of place within the decade, within the album itself. I mean, it's a work of art to me,
really. If you're looking for one of those kind of like rock staples, Deeper Understanding is very good at that. And the one you had, In Chains, is a good pick. I like Strangest Thing.
Yeah, Strangest Thing is good. Yeah, Holding On is another one as well. But In Chains is, oh man, that shit gets me in my feels.
Yes. Number 30, The War on Drugs. We are now in the 20s.
Yeah, in the first 20 with 29 is Okr herself, Okr. Cardi B.
Gotta do it right. Okr!
My tongue doesn't Okr. Do that.
It's Cardi B, Invasion of Privacy.
Woo! This is a fucking album.
This is a banger.
It made us like a song that we originally hated because the song is so good, so bad that it's brilliant.
She Bad with Cardi B and YG.
Yes,
is what we're talking about. But now this is Cardi B's debut album.
It is.
There's this whole nonsense thing that's been going on in rap since time immemorial of who can be the one, the single female rapper, which is ridiculous. There can obviously be multiple, and it can be great. Cardi B really just like blew up onto the scene with this.
And she doesn't give a fuck is the best part. It's like Billie Eilish. She just goes in there, does what she wants, doesn't care what men tell her.
You get is a trap album that like explores that idea of like not dealing with what men tell you in an album from a woman's perspective in trap, which you don't get to do that often and have like these great bangers.
Seriously.
It has like the trap hits, but it also is kind of just like Cardi B's sort of story and emotions talking about these things. I think in the song Be Careful, which is just purely Cardi B.
Yes. Features, nothing.
Yeah, no features. Just talking and singing. She's also talking about how she has a tough exterior, but she can be hurt on the inside.
Exactly,
and it really
sucks. Like a normal human can.
I gave you everything, was mine is yours. I want you to live your life, of course. But I hope you get what you're dying for. Be careful with me. Do you know what you're doing? Whose feelings that you're hurting and bruising? You gon' gain the whole world, but is it worth the girl that you're losing? Be careful with me. Yeah, it's not a threat, it's a warning. Be careful with me.
But if you do hurt her, be careful.
But if you do hurt her, she'll pull a Glock and fucking shoot you in the face. Exactly. That's what I like so much about this album. It's so, to me, it's so empowering to women in a way where it's just, doesn't give a fuck. She says, hey, I've got all these things. I've had a pretty rough life before all of this fame and stuff happened, so I know where I came from. But don't be mistaken, yeah, I'm still tough as fuck.
And some will criticize and say, oh, how can you say it's empowering to women when, like, she talks about, like, dancing provocatively and she's a former stripper? And, like, yeah, that's kind of the point. Like, you can be whatever you want to.
Exactly.
And do whatever you want to, and you still, like, are garnered and treated with that respect and presence. And
exactly.
She just lives it all around.
That's why. Because to me, it's her attitude in the entire album of, this is who I am, accept it or not, fuck off.
The only thing I don't accept is the marriage to Offset, but we can let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, she's good enough to deal with that. So that was 29. Now we're at 28 with Kendrick Lamar, Good Kid, Mad City.
We had a debate about this, but we ultimately
did,
landed here.
But we ultimately agreed. It took some conversations.
Yes. So,
oh my God, this album.
It's safe to say that the 2010s were a pretty banging year for Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yes. To Pimp a Butterfly, we're just like, I don't know which one we want to pick. But Good Kid, Mad City.
No, Section 80, I thought, yeah. And I was like, wow, Section 80 was such a good album, but it's like a blip in Kendrick Lamar's radar now because he's made so much more. I mean, he did the right thing. What does he improve?
Every single album.
If anything, I could say he made two huge of steps in between albums. Yes. Not too huge, obviously, but like every album is such a different step above.
Exactly.
Caliber.
There's so few artists that can do that as well.
But if we're going all the way back to Good Kid, Mad City, which is kind of where that started happening, you just get like the kind of raw fundamentals of Kendrick Lamar
exactly.
as a rapper, talking about Streets of Compton, going up through that. I mean, the song, and I think it's a pretty good one to go into, is Swimming Pool.
Sit down, drink. Stand up, drink. Pass out, drink. Wake up, drink. Fade it, drink. Fade it.
Drank. Swimming Pools is good.
Because everyone's heard the song, they think. Just like, yes. Stand up, drank, sit
stand down,
drank.
Yeah.
But you hear the song, it's about poverty, it's about helping your parents through that.
Exactly.
There's so
many layers into it. I mean, even if Bitch Don't Get My Vibe, there's so many layers into that. And that's the thing that I like about Kendrick Lamar, because it can appeal to so many people in the regards of, it can go into the mainstream because they have banner hits and stuff, but then you go to the deeper messages of the song itself, you go, whoa, okay, there's a lot to this more than you would think.
Bangers with Meaning is basically like Kendrick Lamar's stable.
And
it's like powerfully through it. So well-deserved number 28, Kendrick Lamar with Good Kid, Mad City.
Definitely. And now at... what is the, where are we at now? 27?
We're now going to 27.
27.
And we are at
the
1975s.
Oh, I didn't even realize I was wearing the shirt. That's hilarious.
I like it. Their album, I Like It When You Sleep, For You Are So...
beautiful, yet so unaware of it.
Yes.
Fucking stalker, Maddie. Album that came out in 2016, and this is what made me like the band so much. It is one of the best alternative rock, indie rock, pop rock, whatever the fuck you want to call it, albums of the decade, by far. It is what launched them into commercial success. But the main thing with this album, there's a section of this album of a couple songs that are just lights out. It starts in the middle of the album. Lost My Head, Battle of Me and My Brain, Somebody Else, Loving Someone. And then you have I Like It When You Sleep and The Sound. All of those songs together in the middle of an album are their best songs of the album. And it is fantastic.
We talk a lot about artists who put all the best songs in the beginning or all the best songs in the end.
And they
middle
just,
is an interesting choice.
And they just put this chunk in the middle of like, this is so much emotion. This is so much music into it. It starts off with Love Me, of this big ballad, you know, this big guitar ballad of them talking about
the
being rock stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you have the intro of the 1975 because I keep doing it. I don't think they're going to anymore. But anyways, but with Love Me, it's this song about being rock stars or being kind of like accepting who you are as a rock star, because people are going to talk about you all the time. They're going to not agree with what you say. They're not going to agree with your music. Say who you are.
You lose agency in being a celebrity.
Exactly. And that's what like the entire song is about. And there's so much that goes into it. You have, obviously, everyone knows Somebody Else. That's the song that kind of blew them up. You have Loving Someone, which has a line of I'm the Greek economy of cashing intellectual checks.
He loves that line so much.
That line is so fucking hot. That's a bar, man. That is so good of a bar.
If I have to ease someone into the 1975, I would use somebody else.
Of the album, I mean, yeah, that's the one that everyone knows for sure. That's a good song to get into it. It's a good hit. Out of it, like, I would probably say, like, my favorite of the album is actually Lost My Head, and that's a good track as well to get into it too. But obviously everyone's gonna know Somebody Else. Lost My Head's good, Loving Someone's good. Those songs get you into it, but holy shit, top to bottom, it is, every song is good on this album.
The couple songs got out of it, like you said, and they started getting radio play and people started really getting into what is this band, the 1975.
Exactly. And then you look at their discovery like, oh wow, they have a lot of stuff and whatnot, and now they're just,
and they're not any showing any signs of slowing down.
No, so. Absolutely not.
Yes.
Now we've got 26 with Lord and Pure Heroin, which came out 2013. Oh man, this is an album.
This is album. Lord has one of the best musicians to come out of this decade.
100%.
The best, like, singer-songwriter. A beautiful
might be my favorite singer-songwriter to come out of the 2010s by far.
Yeah.
Because the first song, obviously, everyone knows is Royals, and that got radio play. And I was like, okay, this is an okay song, but let me check out the album. I go,
And the thing about Royals is that when it came out, it was, in a Billie Eilish kind of way, deemed as anti-pop.
Yeah, because
a lot of the ideas of the song are rejecting the fame and glitz and glamour, exactly, money and diamonds that come with popularity and, like, making it big, and saying, look, I'm just gonna rule within my own fantasy. It's exactly, like, literally the lyrics from Royals.
And then, but the song that comes after that, Ribs, I think I've listened to that song an infinity amount of times.
Reeling through the midnight streets, and I've never felt more alone. It feels so scary getting old. We can talk it so good, we can make it so divine. We can talk it good, how you wish it would be all the time.
With how it is, it's about, like, Ribs is that, the production on that song is literally perfect. It's one of those very few songs where I just, like, there's absolutely nothing more you can do or less to make the song better. This is the song, and don't, like, touch it. It's like about like a teenage fantasy thing of people staying over, like, having a slumber party at a house, but then you kind of realize that you're growing up, and this is, like, the one of the last times you're gonna be able to do this with somebody.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a cool introspective of, oh my God, I'm actually terrified of growing up, terrified of being an adult because of all the responsibilities and stuff. I'm only 16. Well, that's because she wrote that then, but then I think she was maybe 20 when Pure Heroin came out or something like that.
Man, a lot of these songs are so written good from the perspective of, like, someone who is very, like, smartly in their, like, late teens.
Exactly. Not an angsty teenager, but more of an introspective teenager, of someone who is, you know, you're 16 going on 30, and there's not many of those people around, especially in music. And that's the theme of this album, and it's fantastic. So it can hit a lot of people. It can hit adults. It can hit teenagers. So that's the best thing of this album, is it just the wide range of people it can hit.
Yeah, absolutely, check it out. Ribs is a phenomenal song. Yes. Number 26. Number 25. Woo-wee. We are halfway through the list, everyone. And we are going to, not to say anything about the other 25 albums, because those have been great. We put them on this list for a reason. And there are albums that didn't make it on the list, but they're all good. But now we get to the top 25.
Yeah.
And that's going
to
be...
Now we're getting to the fun.
Buckle up, folks.
Buckle up, kiddos. Okay.
So number 25 is Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer. Came out in 2018, and
ooh, this is fucking good, dude.
So Janelle Monáe, especially when she started with her second album, Arc Android, has been kind of playing around with this, like, half person, half computer motif. Yep. And it's kind of an introspective look on what a lot of people do, the way technology influences. Look. Yeah. Yeah. Noodle Plastic Beach or Noodle Demon Days?
This is a good question.
Because Noodle Plastic Beach is definitely dirty computer.
Right? That's
but, it's been playing around with like the motif of how technology is influencing life exactly. and culture and the very psyche itself. Mm-hmm. And so there are albums that came out of that, Electric Lady, Arc Android, but Dirty Computer is the most complete, best performing, I think, just
such a good album. Top to bottom,
like realization beautiful. Of that. From the intro, Dirty Computer, it just starts with her wonderful voice and this like shimmering sort of intro. Then you get into Crazy Classic Life, which is also this like funk groove. And that's the thing, it's like in an Anderson .Paak, a pre-Anderson .Paak release way, it's simultaneously funk groove while also being rap.
Exactly. There's a lot. And this is one of the albums to me that I wouldn't say started because people are still making it, but this was the beginning of a lot of albums that kept coming out into this theme. That funk groove R&B hip hop, which I remember Dan saying this when this album came, he's like, dude, funk's starting to come back, man. Watch out. And it really has. This is the first album that really exposed me to that of what it could be in a modern age.
Yeah. Of course it had like anti-pop hits like Make Me
Naturally.
Feel, where it was just like taking out music in order to make fun. You had Pink, which is a very popular song. All these are really good. If I had to pick one to get you into it, and you should definitely listen to this as a full album, it's phenomenal, I'd maybe pick Screwed with Zoe Kravitz. Mm. It's a mix of rapping and spoken word near the end, but it's mostly like singing and stuff. Both Zoe Kravitz and Janelle Monáe are good at both singing and spoken word rap flow kind of thing. And together on the album, they're really good. And Screwed gets at this, what Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer also is like a reclaiming of sexuality in a lot of forms. Because she's kind of saying, I'm just into people. I'm not like gay or straight or lesbian. It's like bisexual, but also humans. Just like a larger sort of expression of sexuality in a way that's purely on Janelle Monáe's terms. And a way that I interpret is that take sexuality on your own terms and then go out into the world and then the right people will come and the wrong people will probably fuck off. And so that sort of empowering message really came through on Dirty Computer, especially on Screwed. And among that, that's one of the reasons why it's at the top. It's instrumentally there, lyrically there, has the right message, just really good.
And number 24, we have Disclosure with Caracol, which came out in 2015.
Yes.
Man, this is a very good second album from a band.
We had an argument over whether Settle or Caracol should go under this. I'm happy I lost that argument with Caracol because I listened to Caracol over again, and it's just more complete as an album. Which is hard because Settle felt complete as an album, but Caracol.
Caracol, to me, the reasons why I picked Caracol is A, the production, and B, all of the features go together. And that is rare for a electronic group to have features go together in a way that it doesn't detract. There's not one feature that outshines another one because each song is so heavily produced and made by Disclosure that they all sound, I wouldn't say all sound the same, but all go together in the same thing.
They all fit. They all match. They all because sound like they're part of the same collection.
A lot of times, even like my problem with Deadmau5 sometimes is sometimes when with the features he gets, that song overpowers the rest of the album.
Or like these the style of the feature overpowers what the rest of the album
and
is
then
trying to do.
Even within their own voices, they can still do it. Like Jaded. Jaded is a song that's just them. It's Guy, the bassist, that he does the voice on it, and it still fits. And it comes after fucking Magnus with Lord, and it still works. So that's how good of musicians they are. I mean, top to bottom, beautiful record. It is funk, it is groove, it is electronic, it's house beats. There's so much that goes into this album. I mean, Willing and Able with Kawabs, oh my god, such a good shit. And when we saw that joint live and we were just bump in that entire time.
That it was never meant to be. If we can trust the love in us, there'll be no looking back, no looking back, no. If love in us can stop me touch, there'll be no looking back, no looking back, no. If we're falling in love.
I also didn't realize that Masterpiece was the first time I had heard of Jordan Rakai. And then his album that came out, Origins, later this year was one of our favorites.
That's hilarious. I didn't realize that. That's right. That is Jordan Rakai.
I was listening over yesterday.
That's funny.
I was going this and I was like, oh shit. Wow, look at that. But yeah, Caracol is just like...
It is amazing.
I keep doing this with my hands, but it's just like
Italian.
This is what I mean by distillation. That's always the word I'm looking for. The distillation, of everything Disclosure is trying to do with electronic, make it housey, but also use real instruments and
do it live where you can, you have some of it programmed, but you do most of it yourself as well, which you combine the both of it and which makes their shows so unique.
Where is our pick? For this.
Holy
I think
crap.
Willing and Able is
Willing
a strong
and Able
one.
Is a really good one, man.
If you're going to be going into the album, start like to take a to dip your toes in with Willing and Able, because I think it's a good balance. Mm-hmm. Hourglass is really amazing too, with Lion Babe, Holding On, the Gregory Porter. Like, you can't go wrong with literally any song
you
up here.
You really can't.
My secret favorite on this is Molecules at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. My secret favorite is Moving Mountains.
Totally good.
Mm-hmm. After that, we have number 23, the Magical 23. Watch, it's my number in hockey too. We've got Bandana with Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, which came out this year.
Yes, Freddie Gibbs and Madlib with Bandana. I did fight to make sure this got in.
Oh,
once it got in, it got safely in.
100%.
We talked about this really well. We did a really good job, if I can pat myself on the back here, on the Audio Face episode where we reviewed Bandana, where it just has the fundamentals, the meat and potatoes of hip hop and
it
rap.
It does, and it's in a world where. There's so much in a world where there's so much shitty rap and trap. There's this gem called Bandana.
Yeah,
and it made me really excited for the future of it as well, because I'm every once in a while, there's a couple months stretch of just crap that keeps coming out, but then you get these gems of there's still people that can make hip hop and rap that is fantastic.
Yeah,
I say. I like how it says Obrigado, which means thank you in Portuguese.
Yeah.
Thanks, Caesar.
And if you actually hear the sample, it's like, Obrigado, and welcome to Madlib and Freddie Gibbs present. And now, for my Nigaru Madlib.
That's a good part.
So good.
And it goes into freestyle shit.
Yeah, but like, it has the fundamentals of jazzy loops and pre-production rap, courtesy of Madlib, with your heavy-hitting... spitting, switching around where the rhymes go, like verses that you get from Freddie Gibbs. It's lyrical talent. And then there are some features within here, but all the features make sense. Yasiin Bey, Mos Def, Black Thought, Anderson .Paak, Pusha T, Killer Mike. That's all you need. That's all you're gonna do. You have a banger, you have an instant classic. I saw a version of God Damn on NPR Tiny Desk.
Oh, I didn't know they did a Tiny Desk.
They did a Tiny Desk.
Shit, why haven't I watched it? I won't watch this after we record.
Yeah.
Deadass.
And I think it's a very good intro into the album because it's almost Freddie Gibbs singing, but he's definitely
not. Yeah, it's like the weird thing.
Yeah, and it's the rapid fire kind of like street knowledge kind of thing that sometimes the woke conscious rap that you can get in this album can be a little bit too much for people. But if you're just jumping in, God Damn, it's just
a good
groovy
track. Coast of London, that's all they serve. Stomach hurt, the devil work, but I ain't nervous. Beat the verdict, but lost a million. Guess life been perfect, whipping birdies. The devil work, but I ain't nervous. I reminisce the feeling when I think about it. Think about a man in the bank I used to dream about. No peanut in the whip I used to sleep about. Sleeping about it. Fighting with the human, think about it. Yeah, yeah. I got bags, so bitch, you fucking with me. Yeah, yeah. With the glass, so bitch, you fucking with me. Yeah, yeah. Live that yeah, go dry on the table, chop. Best laugh. Watch a spider look like a spaceship. They like goddamn. Yeah. Post some liquor. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Free mind. Track.
Cataracts is a great summer song. It was, I think, one of my picks for song of the summer, actually. Yep. But it's just so much good in this. And we did put a couple, like a good number of 2019 albums in here, and it's very hard to tell in a year
how long or it's even longer than that in 5-6 years. So
best album of the decade, you can really easily tell, at least I can. So absolutely check it out.
After that, we have with 22, we have Beach House with 7, and this is such a mind-blowingly good album. The indie scene that came out in 2018 was kind of low. It wasn't much. There's some things that were coming out, more and more artists now, like Catfish and the Bottlemen and stuff, which is more rocky. Mm-hmm. This is just pure indie beautifulness, alternative rock at its finest within an album. Dark Spring, Pain of Mine, Lemon Go, those three songs that open up the album. Fantastic.
You have to start, I think you have to start with Lemon Go.
100% you have to start with Lemon Go. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. That is the song to go. Actually, I think is now their most popular song for Beach House, which is crazy because Beach House has a really large discography of songs and a lot of other songs I think that are better. But because of how much traction this album has been starting to get and whatnot, Lemon Glow became a thing.
The song gives me chills. It's beautiful.
I love Dark Spring. I love the opening track of it. I like Lose Your Smile in the middle
Drunk
of the album.
Drunk in L.A.
It's, I've listened to this album
Girl
so much. Girl
of the Year.
Girl of the Year, yeah. Another good track. Second to last track on it. It is absolutely beautiful album. A lot of people had it on their lists as well in 2018, which just our 2018 was kind of overshadowed with so much good shit that came out at the time that I didn't really pay attention to it, but it was good.
We did review Beach House of 7 on it, and we did have it on like our Audio Face Awards that year. It's definitely nominated for something.
It was, for sure. But cannot recommend it enough, and it definitely deserves to be in these in the high 20s.
Yeah.
And now we've got 21.
Yes.
With J. Cole, For Your Eyes Only.
For J. Cole, if you're going to put him on one of these lists, you basically have two picks, in my opinion. 2014 Forest Hills Drive or For Your Eyes Only.
100%.
Revenge of the Dreamers 3, it's a mixtape. We're not going to count that.
K.O.D. I liked a lot of K.O.D., but the problem was is that he went back on all of his stuff that he talked about.
On the messaging of the album.
Exactly, and I'm like, you can't do that, and that's why we nominated him in the Little Bitch Award last year.
Yes.
Because you can't go that hard on an album and then retract it, but For Your Eyes Only is...
Yeah, For Your Eyes Only is just this beautiful... Like, so when people describe J. Cole, there's a lot of things they describe. Number one, platinum with no features. That's this album. No features.
Kills
it. Doesn't need features. Feels great. Doesn't take up too much time on the album. Really gets the point across. Number two, the woke conscious rap kind of thing.
100%.
Yes, he's doing that. It's pure storytelling. It's pure like emotion and heart. It's street poetry what's happening right here. One of my favorites, I don't know if this will be the pick, but one of my favorites is Folding Clothes.
Folding Clothes
just
is
like
the,
straight, just like the dumb love that I didn't expect.
Yeah.
There's one line that's like, I'm out here getting almond milk. Whoever thought I'd be the one who's drinking almond milk?
That's my favorite. It's like, yeah, that's one of my favorite things.
Just like with a song like, where like you all, like, all of a sudden you wake up and you find out you're in love with someone because you're doing all this weird shit you would never do.
Wait, why am I eating vegan food? I'm not even fucking vegan. like almonds.
Yes.
I would probably choose Immortal for for the one to get into it because that song just goes hard. It just starts the song running and it keeps going, and that's a great theme for the entire album of it. Crime pays like a part-time job in the drought. Got me praying for a call-time vibe. Summer rain come again, I'm the pain cause it's all for a felon. In my mind I've been crying, know it's wrong, but I'm selling eyes, welling up with tears, thinking about my niggas dead in the dirt, immortalized on the shirt. Real niggas don't die. Fall with the plot, 1745. Form at the plot, real niggas don't die. Form on the plot, real niggas don't lie. Form in the block, my niggas don't die. Form on the block, real niggas don't die. Form on the block, real niggas don't die. Real niggas don't die.
Have you ever seen a fiend cook crack on a spoon? Have you ever seen a nigga that was black on the moon? Have you ever seen your brother go to prison as he cried? Have you ever seen a motherfucking ribbon
in the
sky? Yeah,
J. Cole's For Your Eyes Only is one of like the rap staples of the decade. I've said that about a lot of the rap albums here, but it just really has so much emotion, so much power.
It's a straight poem. It's poetry.
The J. Cole fans can get annoying. I think J. Cole's evolving his like overall message and theme too, but this is the J. Cole album where you should get it if you listen to it and you understand music. You will get and understand why the J. Cole fans have this feverish sort of respect and love for him.
Yes.
So
that was...
that's 30 through 21.
Now we're going to get into the top 20, which you can start listening to next week. But make sure if you missed the rest of it, go catch up.
We go back and listen right now. And since you're going back and listening to all these Audio Face episodes, why not make sure you're subscribed in your favorite podcast app?
Yeah, so we should start doing that.
so you don't miss whenever any of these episodes come out. We'll be back to normal Audio Face episodes in later in January, where we'll be reviewing albums every single week, slowly building up our 50 of the 20s list.
Yes. So now we have our just honorable mentions. I'm doing Radiohead, Licking and Limbs, which came out in 2011. Originally, I had it on here, but then to make room for other albums I think were a bit stronger, I put it off and put it into the recommendations, but I would have had it in about this range, in the mid to late 20s. Starts off with Bloom, fantastic track. It took me a long time to understand and like this album for what it is, but after a while, I did really enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm going to put, what is it? J-Rock's Redemption.
Redemption?
That's because a good one. Because I'm fine not giving J-Rock one of these on 50 of the 10s, but it was one of the best like rap projects that was put together. Like TDE was on a tear with SZA, with J-Rock, with the Black Panther soundtrack, with Kendrick Lamar, obviously, but Schoolboy Q, everything that was going on, but Redemption was just like a bread and butter, pure wholesome rap trap mix album that was really good. But yeah, that's the stuff. Follow Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram so you don't miss any of our stuff, and we'll get to the rest of the list very soon.
Yeah.